Right, end of the year. We're at the end of a year. And you know what happens at the end of every year? Usually, New Year's Eve, you've got all of the TV channels that come out with the highlights from the year. They always come out with what happened this year, the good stuff and the bad stuff. All of the big news stories. So, I thought it appropriate for us to recap this year a little bit. For us to work together to recap this year. Because at this time of year, we have time to think. We stop. We slow down for a little while. After Christmas, we slow down. Before Christmas, we're gone crazy. After Christmas, we slow down. Most people are on holidays, having a relaxed time up until New Year's, and that's another hectic night. But this is a time where we can stop and think, and sometimes we reflect on the year that's gone. Sometimes we reflect on the things that went wrong, and we reflect on the things that went right. But we also spend time, because community tells us to think about the year ahead, to make New Year's resolutions, something that we're going to change about next year. Does anyone even remember what your New Year's resolution was last year? You do? How'd you go, Byron? No, not bad. You went good with a few. What about you, John? What, higher or lower? If you can get to 85, you're way better than me. I think the last time I played golf, my score didn't register. Is it after, once you get over 30 over, then you don't register your score? If you want to win, play me in golf. But for this time of year, it contains an air of expectation and excitement. But for others, it's a time of impending doom. You know what's to come this year and you're worried about what it might be. I'm hoping that to change the way we look at the year to come, whichever way we're looking at it, I'm hoping that to change the way we look at this year that was, and I'm hoping that to change the way we think about the year that was, the way we think about the year that we just had, and by changing that thinking that we change the way we think about the year to come. The way we see, the way we view, the way we walk into that year. I'm going to ask you a question that I'm not sure if you're going to remember. I'm not sure how many of you people will actually remember this. You know, when you think back to the beginning of the year, apart from maybe some of our New Year's resolutions, we forget things. When I watch those highlight reels of the year that's gone on the news, sometimes I think, oh, that's right, that happened. And it's a major event. I remember that thinking that when they had the Sydney bushfires or the Melbourne bushfires at the end of the year, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, that happened this year. Does anyone remember, like Glenn said, that we're going to have a Vision Sunday at the end of January. We had a Vision Sunday this year as well, at the beginning of this year. Does anyone remember what word Glenn said we were going to concentrate on this year? No, you can't answer, Glenn. Does anyone remember? Please help. What was it, Nick? It was expectant. Because, well done. One person, or two. Oh, and Glenn, but Glenn doesn't count. And neither do I. So it was expectant. We're expecting God to do something amazing this year. We're expecting God to act through this year. We're expecting to see God work, to do amazing things. How many of you look back and think, oh, yeah, we expected these amazing things and it actually happened? How many of you look back on this year? Not yet. Glenn did see some amazing things. I'm glad someone did. We'll talk about what they may be. I'll give you this time to think about it. I will ask you for a response later on. Ask you to talk about what you saw God doing this year, what what sort of things God did. But I want to lead into that by talking about something that's very important, and that's remembering. Remembering is really, really important. And I want to ground that with someone who is extremely wise. Someone whose words always pop up in my mind when I'm thinking of something important. We're going to watch a video clip in a second of someone who talks about how important remembering is. How important remembering our life and the things we've learned are. Thanks, Ross.
Luke, don't give in to hate. That leads to the dark side.
Strong is Vader. Mind what you have learned. Save you again.
I will. And I'll return. I promise.
Ah. Yoda. The wisest person ever. He comes up with these amazing quotes. And as I'm talking about remembering, you know what kept running around in my mind? Luke, mind what you have learned. Save you it will. Mind what you have learned. Remember everything you have learned. Especially if you're going to go and face Darth Vader, you need to remember everything you've learned. Everything you've learned from Yoda. But we need to mind what we have learned. We need to remember what we have learned from God. But I don't want to start with us, because that's the wrong place to start when we're talking about doing what God asks. We need to start with God. Because it's easy for me to say to you, you need to remember. But I thought it was worth starting with what God remembers. What sort of things did God remember? Before I get to that, I want to say that the process of remembering is the process of recalling the past, especially the presence and activity of God in the history of his people. Remembering God's work in the past can lead to praise and rejoicing and a hope for the future. And God himself remembers. What sort of things does God remember? God remembers his promises. As Peter wrote in his letter, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is not slow in keeping his promise. Sometimes it may feel like he's very slow. Sometimes we may be wanting God to do something now. We need him to do something now. But God always remembers and keeps his promises, whatever they are. When I think about God remembering his promises, the one I remember that is a great children's story is the great promise that we can see, not every day, regularly in the sky. I haven't seen one since I've been here. A rainbow. I don't think I've seen one. I've been here for 18 months and I don't think I've seen a rainbow. Maybe I need to start looking. Maybe I just don't remember seeing a rainbow. Yeah, the promise that God made to Noah that he would never send a flood to cover the whole earth again. And we've got this constant reminder that God keeps that promise. The promise that he made to Abraham. Who here has done RI? Taught RI in school this year. One of the things that happened that got drummed into me and hopefully into the students this year was God's promise to Abraham. He had three. Does anyone remember what those three promises are? Even if you didn't teach RI, you might remember them. Anyone remember what they are? What was that? He'll have a child of his own, but broader than that, bigger than just one child. His kingdom will last forever. His nation will last forever. He'll multiply. He will have, his family will be more than the grains of the sand, more than the stars in the sky. That's one. Lasting forever, yes. But that's not one of the ones I had, I'm sorry. Land. You will have land. And that's what we talked about with the children this year, was how they came into this land that God had promised. And the third one was blessings. The world will be blessed through you. Now, we are a part of Abraham's family by virtue of coming into it by being Christians. We follow Jesus. We listen to Jesus. And so therefore we become a part of Abraham's family. We are grafted into his family. The land he gave them. But he's also given so much more. He hasn't just given that land of Israel. He has given all of the land to all of his people. Everything we have, all of the land that we have, our houses, everything, is a gift from God. What was the third one? Blessings. Well, I knew I left that one last for a reason. The blessings. We are how God blessed the world through Abraham. We are the fruit of that blessing. The fact that God has done something amazing in this world and seen so many people follow him and listen to him is the blessing. Because eventually, God's people listen to God. And so Jesus listened to God, and so his blessing was poured out on all nations, to every tribe and tongue. Another thing God remembers, he remembers his people. As Luke said, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. You see, God remembered his people, not just Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of those people. But I think this remembering his people is broader than that. It's broader than just his family. It's broader than just us coming into the blessing of Abraham. But God remembers each and every one of us, whether we are a part of his family or not. He remembers each and every person. Whether they acknowledge him or not, he cares for them. He loves them. He looks after them. He has given everything for them. He has given the life of his son. For this other thing, that is, I know I'm stretching it a little bit, but God will remember our sins no more. God will remove our sins as far as the east are from the west, as our reading had. Our reading had, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. There you go. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, God has removed their sins. God has removed them for us. It's hard. I know. I find it hard to get my head around this one, that God forgets our sins. But I think God deliberately decides not to count our sins against us. To us, it looks like he's forgotten. To us, it feels like he has forgotten what we have done wrong to each other, to ourselves, and most importantly to him. It looks like he's not remembering, but he does remember. He just removed it. It's what Jesus has done on the cross for us. He has worn those sins. He has taken those sins upon himself so that the pain and torment that we deserve has been taken on by God. So there's three things that God remembers, or in the case of sins, chooses not to remember. What sort of things do we need to remember? What's the one thing, first thing that we need to remember? We need to remember who God is. We need to remember His might and His power and His majesty. We need to remember, as it says in verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in love. This God who created the universe, in essence, with the click of His fingers. He just said a word and it happened. This God who we can't even fathom the hugeness of what He's created or the smallness of what He's created. We are only discovering how big this universe is and how small and minute and how detailed it is. In all of our brilliance and our insight and our wisdom, we still fail to fathom who this God we worship is. As science continues to explore, it continues to uncover what we don't know. We have this God of immense power, but we also have this God of immense love and compassion. This God that walks alongside us. This God that is here, guiding, speaking, working in our lives. The more I think about who this God is, the more my mind gets blown. The more I think I understand, the more I realize I don't understand. The more I've learned, the less I know. We need to remember what God has done. There is something that happened in the life of the Hebrew people, something that they were asked to do. There are a number of things that they're asked to do, but this one in particular. And it comes from Deuteronomy 6. In the future, when your children ask you, what is the meaning of the stipulation, decrees and laws of the Lord our God has commanded you, then you tell them. We were slaves of the Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But He brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that He promised on oath to our ancestors. We are to remember what happened. We are to remember what God has done, to recall to mind what we have learned. There are a number of ways that the Hebrew people did that, that the Israelites did that. They did that by having things written on their doorposts and on their sleeves, everywhere they went, to remind them of what God had done. They had the Passover, that every year they were supposed to commemorate what God had done in bringing them out of Egypt. There's something else that I've got here that people did. At great times, at amazing times. We talked about it a couple of months ago when we were going through Joshua, when they crossed the Jordan. God commanded through Joshua for the people to do something. What did He command them to do? To pick up stones from the middle of the river and bring them over and build an altar so that every time they walked past those pile of rocks, they would be reminded of what God had done. Jacob, when he fought an angel, Jesus, God, whatever it was that he fought, that put his hip out. Do you know the story? He was scared of going back to see his brother because he was worried about what his brother might do. And he was fighting with God the whole time. And then this physically he fought God. And his response to that was to pile up a pile of rocks to remind people every time they went past it what happened. The great deeds of God. We also have things to remind us. We have a cross at the back of the church and a cross at the front of what God has done. Before I was here, I was at a church in Mount Barker. This church in Mount Barker was an amazing place because there was a real community there where they loved each other and they cared for each other. This church, the building, the people in the church built. But they did something different when they built their church. They didn't just get together and have a number of working bees and build this church, which they did. But before they started building, each person in the church was set a task. They were asked to go and find rocks. They were asked to find rocks. Some of them found rocks by the side of the road. As they're driving down the road, they think, oh, there's a rock. So they pull over, pick it up, put it in their boot. Some of them grabbed a rock out of their garden. Some of them grabbed rocks from the beach. And the whole idea of these rocks was there's this one wall, the back wall of the church. So this wall was a free stone wall where all of these rocks that were collected built this wall. Both sides, you know, it was a really thick wall. Also built into that wall in different colored rocks was a cross. It was hard to see unless you knew it was there, but it was there. And the reason why they did that was so that every time they looked at that wall, I had a number of conversations with people in that church that could point out their rock and how they contributed to the life of that church. So there was a constant reminder to them of what this church was, a community of people coming together to serve God. It's a pile of rocks, just we're better organized. We also have something that we do every month. I was going to say wheel the table out, but it hasn't got wheels. We slide the table out, or carry it sometimes, and put it here. And we put certain elements on that table, don't we? We put some bread on there, big round loaf. Everything's going to fall off. Big round loaf, so then we can really see it being torn apart. And we have a couple of goblets, some clear ones, so we can see the red juice inside. We also have a little round loaf. Looks a bit like bigger ones. Little one that's gluten-free. Because this time is a time for accepting everyone. And why do we do that? Because God asks us to remember Jesus' death and resurrection. That when we break that bread, it reminds us of Jesus' broken body when we tear it apart. It's a visual reminder of what Jesus went through. When we see in those glass goblets that red juice, it reminds us of his blood. It reminds us of the amount of blood that was shed. And if you've seen the Passion of the Christ, the uncut version, you had a pretty good idea of how much blood there was. There's a reason why my children haven't watched that movie yet. But Paul talks about this time of communion. He talks about how we are supposed to view it. And he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" See, the Hebrew people had Passover. We have communion. And this communion doesn't just tell us how God rescues, but it tells us how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, and how much he wants us to be with him. He asks us to remember Jesus' death and his resurrection. The resurrection part is really important for that. It's not just important to remember his death, as much as that shows us love and care and compassion. But he asks us to remember his resurrection because it says that the death was the powerful message that it was supposed to be. That it actually did release us from our sins. It actually did free us into life. Into the life that only God can give. We need to remember. I don't know about you, but like I said before, when I watch those news stories of the year that's been, and I see those things, they're like, oh, that's right, I remember that. I remember that. In the midst of our life, it's easy to forget the things that God has done. It's easy to forget that this year was, we were to be expectant. That God would act. That God would do something. It's easy to forget that on Monday that on Sunday we had this amazing sermon that changed our life. And then on Monday, our life is just the same as it always was. We're rolling on like we always have. Putting up with the boss that we have to put up with. I'm not speaking for myself. I had to say that. He's sitting there. But it's easy to forget, isn't it? It's why God constantly calls us to remember. Constantly calls us to remember who he is and what he's done. But because it's so easy... Because it's so easy to forget, remember that we're not alone. As Jesus says, not long before he left his disciples, that the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. You are not alone in this remembering. You don't have to rely on yourself, tie a string on your finger every time you've got to remember something, or build a pile of rocks every time you've got to remember something, or tattoo it to somewhere that you can see. You just need to rely on the fact that God helps you to remember. He sent the Holy Spirit to help you to remember everything you need to remember. He sent the Holy Spirit to walk alongside you, to remind you, to pick your mind to the things you need to remember. Who here has done an exam? Yeah. You didn't put your hand up, Aaron. Or was it hidden behind Denise's head? What's the greatest thing you can do in an exam? Remember. No matter how much you study, no matter how much work you do beforehand, it's pointless if you can't remember a thing. At school, I was always of the opinion that less is more. I was always of the opinion that the less I did, the better off I was, because life was too short to be stuck studying. Life was too short to be doing homework. I had better things to do. So as a result, my year 12 results reflected that. But something I always did well, and I don't know why, now I'd probably say it was the Holy Spirit guiding me, maybe. Something I always did well was tests and exams. Because my recall, for some reason, worked well in those situations. I couldn't sit down and write an essay or do my maths homework or my physics weekend assignments, but I could sit down and do an exam. The Holy Spirit helps us with that recall at the times we need it, the times we need it the most. The Holy Spirit gives us what we need. But what happens when we remember? You've already had a cue on this one. I'm sorry. What happens when we remember? When we remember the great deeds that God has done, the great things that He has done in our lives, when we remember how God was present, what He has done, it leads to praise. It leads to a wonder at who God is. It leads to a sense of hope. Oh, wasn't supposed to press that button. Which one was that? That one. It leads to a sense of hope. A hope that even as bad as my life is right now, God did something before. God worked with me before. I can call on so many times when God acted in my life. That when I needed to the most, when I was feeling flat, when I was feeling depressed, when I was wondering what life is all about, then God brought them to mind. Help me to mind what I've learned. Help me to remember that God does do amazing things. That God does love me. That He does care for me. That He does have my best interests at heart. Even if He's slow, in my mind, in doing that. So now, as I warned you before, I want to remember this year. We have been expectant. We have been expecting God to act this year. Whether you realize it or not, we have. Whether you remember it or not, we have. And I know that God has acted in many ways. Now your opportunity is to share that, because the best thing for us to do is to share it with each other. To share what God has done. It gives that praise and hope for those of us that can't remember. So what has God done in your life this year? Whether it's you personally, us as a church, as a congregation, or whether it's something in the world where you've seen God doing something. What have you seen? I open it up for you. We'll need a microphone, I think. Blue Ross. Just put your hand up and Glenn will come around with the microphone.
Just like to remember what God did when earlier this year I needed to find another job, and I think God put one in my lap. So I just need to thank God for that.
That's cool. Thanks, Michael.
The rescue of the wild boar football team in Thailand at the end of June, when 13 lives were mercifully saved.
Yeah. That was a miracle.
I believe that God raised up a Christian Prime Minister for us.
The church has another playgroup.
Yes.
This year when I encountered a very difficult person that I wanted to change, God taught me just to change myself.
Oh, that's a big one.
God healed my daughter from a terrible dose of postnatal depression, really serious. sort of homicidal and suicidal from a very happy, easygoing girl. So we've never had sort of that close to our family before, but it was something pretty awful for 3 months. And praise God, she came home the week before Christmas and she's really well.
Oh, so good.
God's been looking after my children and guiding them, and I'm slowly seeing them open their heart to Him more. So,
I've seen God heal family relationships.
I want to remember God is with us. Not just during the bad times, but also during the good times.
I saw a bunch of young adults and young leaders step up this year in a way that has been absolutely fantastic.
It's funny, I was asking you to do all that, and I've been thinking about it maybe too much. So I've got too many things to, some of them have been covered, like the playgroup. But the way I've seen God work in the Sunday school program, in some of the leaders and some of the children, that's probably been one of the bigger things for me. The amazing team that I have for 180 and GLOW, and for the boys, the way God just brought that together. I guess probably the biggest thing for me, where I've seen God at work, was in the second half of this year. We've had a pretty interesting time after July. And just through the conversations that we had around with our meetings, just to see, just to hear the way God has been talking to people, that God was talking to people, and to hear what He's been saying to them about the church, about how we need to act and how we need to be, that I really felt like we heard God's voice in that. And I just think it was really special. So, now I've asked you to voice it, and I talked a little bit before about, we got rocks here, some square ones, funny shaped rocks, but rocks, and that what happens sometimes was people building a pile of rocks, a little like that. Now it's your turn to build a pile of rocks. I want to have something so that, at least for the next couple of weeks, when we look at this pile of rocks, we can see what God has done. We can be reminded of what God has done in our life. So even if you were a little bit scared of talking in front of all of these people, all these friends, this family, I'd like to invite you to come up here. Grab a rock out of the bucket. Don't throw it. Just carry the rock. And then with something in mind that you want to remember. I guess if you've got two or three things you want to remember, hopefully we've got enough rocks, you can put more rocks up there. But come up here. And for whatever it is that you remember, kind of imprint it in your mind on the rock. That's only so it embeds in your mind, not for anything magical. And then place the rock somewhere here. Add to this pile. Add to this pile of rocks. So that over the next few weeks, as we come together as a family, as Glenn's talking or as we're singing or whatever it is, that you see these rocks and you're reminded how great this God is. We'll do that while we're singing our final song. Pray with me. God, I want to thank you that you are active in our lives, that you are doing amazing things, that you live in us, that you live around us, that you guide us, that you help us to remember what we need to know. Lord, as we finish this service, bring to mind for each one of us something that you have done in our lives, whether it's tiny or small, or whether it's huge. And because of this, give us the hope for the year ahead. No matter how much trepidation we may be viewing this year to come with, give us hope that you are in it, that you will bring something out of it, that you love us and care for us. Amen.